You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And very pleasant. Good morning, everybody. As always, good to be back with you. This is the Marlins Rewind. And yesterday afternoon at Wrigley Field on the north side of Chicago, it was the 2020 National League Wild Card Series Game 1 matchup between the Marlins and the Cubs. Sandy Alcantara and Kyle Hendricks were going toe-to-toe. It was the Marlins' first playoff appearance in 17 years. With a recap, as always, here is Glenn Geffner.
Well, from our Marlins Park studio, we welcome you to the 10th inning show presented by Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Game 1 of the 2020 National League Wild Card Series belongs to the Marlins. They take the opener in this best of 3, 5-1, the final score. Marlins win over the Cubs at Wrigley Field in Chicago, and they are one win away from advancing to the division series after a complete team effort here today. Marlins did it all on the mound, at the plate, very solid defense, good base running. This was a good, well-played, typical Marlins baseball game in 2020. For the folks around the nation watching this team for the first time today on the big stage, meet the Marlins. This is what they've been doing a lot this season, finding a way against a really good starting pitcher in Kyle Hendricks and just outlasting the Cubs today on a day when it looked like too many missed opportunities might doom the Marlins in the end. They came up big in a 5-run seventh, and they got the job done. 5-1 the final score. Sandy Alcantara started against Kyle Hendricks, and this game was scoreless all the way into inning number 5. It wasn't for lack of opportunity on the Marlins' end. He only had a couple of walks in the first 3 innings against Hendricks, but in the 4th inning, Jesus Aguilar hit a leadoff double, but he was stranded at third base. In the 5th inning, Marlins had men at first and second, nobody out, but they couldn't push a run across. Chad Wallach hitting into a double play and Corey Dickerson grounding out. In the 6th inning, they had a man at second with nobody out, and again, couldn't score. The missed opportunities were beginning to pile up for the Marlins, and in the 5th, the Cubs broke the ice with 2 outs and nobody on. Sandy Alcantara was cruising along with a 2-hit shutout until he faced Ian Happ.
The pitch is lifted in the air, left field. This is back toward the ivy, and it bounces above the screen, and it's out of here. Off the top of the wall at Wrigley, and a home run and a 1-0 lead for the Chicago Cubs.
Just the Cubs' 3rd hit in the ball game, Happ's 2nd against Sandy Alcantara, and Kyle Hendricks, who was cruising along in this game, had himself a 1-0 lead. He was able to keep the Marlins off the scoreboard in the 6th inning. When the Marlins left runners at 1st and 2nd in the 6th, they were 0-for-9 in the game with runners in scoring position. But they were still just down a single run into the 7th inning when John Birdie had a comebacker to the mound for the first out. But then Miguel Rojas singled, Chad Wallach singled, and with 2 on and 1 out, Marlins still looking for that first big hit in the ballgame, and they turn to Corey Dickerson. Dickerson hits a shot deep left center field, way back, Hamilton at the wall, goodbye, 3-run homer, Corey Dickerson, and the Marlins take a 3-1 lead in the 7th. Their first hit at that point in 10 at-bats with a man in scoring position in this ballgame. Dickerson, who had 7 in the regular season with his biggest swing. And this is his first season as a Marlin. And with one big cut, he turned this ballgame around. A 1-0 deficit erased. And it was 3-1 Marlins in the 7th. That would be it for Hendricks. In the blink of an eye, his afternoon spoiled. Done after 6 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs. He walked 3, struck out 3. Allowed the Dickerson home run. He hit a batter, threw 106 pitches, matching his season high, 66 for strikes. Jeremy Jeffress, who leads the team in saves, came on at that point in the 7th inning, trailing 3-1. Starling Marte greeted him with a single, and with Marte at first base, up stepped Jesus Aguilar. On 1-2, Aguilar, fly ball, right field, deep, toward the corner, at the wall. Goodbye, Jesus Aguilar! It's a 2-run blast to make it 5-1 Marlins. So at that point, the Marlins had 5 straight hits in the inning, including 2 big home runs. Dickerson with 2 on, Aguilar with 1 man on, and the Marlins had a 5-1 lead. When it was all said and done, they sent 9 men to the plate. They scored 5 runs on 6 hits in the 7th inning, and they were in a commanding position in this ballgame, leading 5-1. Alcantara went out there for the bottom of the 7th, got the first 2 outs. Javier Baez, a fly ball to right. Victor Caratini on a pop-up to short. But when he walked Jason Kipnis, bringing Ian Happ to the plate, his day was over. Contra pulled after 6 2/3. Happ remembered singled and homered earlier in the ball game, so the lefty Richard Blyer came on to face Happ, the switch hitter, and Happ on the first pitch Blyer threw hit into an inning-ending fielder's choice. Kipnis was eliminated at second base, 6-4. That sent us to the eighth. The Marlins 5, and the Cubs 1. In the last of the eighth, Yimi Garcia came on to pitch for the Marlins, and Garcia did today what he's been doing all season long. Made quick work of Chicago, a 1-2-3 eighth inning on 17 pitches, a couple of strikeouts. He got Bryant and Schwarber. So he went through the 2-3-4 men in the order, leaving 5, 6, and 7 for Brandon Kinstler in the ninth inning, looking to protect a 4-run lead. No saving it for the Marlins closer. He allowed a double to Wilson Contreras leading off the ninth, but Kinstler came back, got Jason Hayward to pop to short for the first out. He caught Javier Baez looking at strike three for out number two, and at that point the Marlins were one out away from their first postseason victory since 2003. They led 5-1, two outs, ninth inning, Contreras at second base, and Victor Caratini, the Cubs' last hope.
And now two outs, and here's the pitch. A swing here and a high pop-up in center field and now in right field. Calling for it is Harrison, makes the catch, and the ball game is over. Caratini flies out to center fielder Monte Harrison. The Marlins strand the leadoff double. Kinstler with a terrific job. The bullpen was magnificent. So was Sandy Alcantara. And game one of this wild card series goes to the Marlins 5-1.
Two big swings. Dickerson, the three-run homer, and Aguilar, the two-run shot in the seventh inning. And the big right armer, Sandy Alcantara, carrying the Marlins to the win today. Sandy, 6 2/3 innings, three hits, one run. He walked three, struck out four, hit a batter, threw 100 pitches, 62 strikes. Then Blyer, Garcia, and Kinstler combined for the final seven outs in this ball game. One hit, no runs, no walks, three strikeouts. Marlins take game one of this best of three from the Cubs. The final at Wrigley, Miami 5, Chicago 1. For the Marlins, 5 runs, 8 hits, 1 error, 9 men left. For the Cubs, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 error. They stranded 7. Alcantara the winner, 1-0 in the postseason. Kyle Hendricks the loser, 0-1. Time of the ballgame today was 3 hours, 22 minutes. So the first of this best of three series belongs to the Marlins. Game 2 coming up at 2:08 tomorrow, when Sixto Sanchez will try to advance the Marlins into the division series facing the Cubs' other ace. They've got two aces on this staff. Yu Darvish will probably be the runner-up in the National League Cy Young vote this year. Darvish coming off a monster season, so it'll be an intriguing matchup. The veteran Darvish against the 22-year-old rookie Sixto Sanchez, who had those five dazzling starts to begin his career before two shaky outings to close out the season. That's game two tomorrow with a chance to send the Marlins on to Houston for the division series against the winner of the Braves-Reds wildcard series.
Game one goes to the Marlins, 5-1, the final score. Marlins double up the Cubbies, 8-4 in the hit column. 5 runs, 8 hits, 1 error for Miami, 1 run, 4 hits, and 1 error for the Chicago Cubs. Marlins, 5-7, good enough for a game one victory. Where do we start? Plenty to get to this morning. Let's start with the manager, Don Mattingly.
Yeah, hey there, Donnie. Sandy, today, you see a little bit of struggle to command early. Just what was it like watching him in that first inning bounce back from that and then to see him ride some momentum and sort of find himself after that first inning?
Yeah, Mel said he was a little amped up in the bullpen, a little antsy, which is to be expected, you know, first postseason outing. And then they got a little bit of weather in there. Obviously, the rain, you kind of on and off, didn't you know what it was going to do. But I thought he hung in there, you know, made us a little nervous, you know, walking some guys and kind of lead off walks, things like that. But he was able to bounce back and get us deep into the game.
Joe.
Hey, Donnie, can you speak to Corey and to Jesus in that seventh inning? You know, you guys added those guys for this reason, you know, to bring in those guys, the veteran guys that could, you know, bring production. You spoke a lot about how they're more than just, you know, leaders in the clubhouse. These are contributors. And the fact that those guys step up and kind of led the way with the offense, at least today.
Yeah, I think both guys bringing them in, we were excited. Corey was, you know, one of the guys we kind of went after. He's always hit, right? And he's always been a guy that, you know, seems to hit good pitching. And just it was good for him, you know, his first postseason and to the homer. He was excited. And then Aggie's another guy that's hit, right? And kind of a – he had a good year a couple years ago, struggled last year. You know, we were hoping for the bounce back, and we've gotten that. And he brings – both of those guys bring a ton to the club from just stability, keeping it loose, keeping it, you know, steady and keeping everything in perspective for us.
Steve Wine?
Your guys didn't always show it, but were the hitting conditions a little tough with the combination of sunshine and shadows, especially late in the game there?
It got a little tougher late with the shadows. Thought the conditions were pretty good. It was a little windy out there. I thought our guys did a decent job with Hendricks, made him pitch. You know, he's tough to handle because he's got, you know, that changeup is so good. And the fastball, he spots it. It's like it locates it. And he doesn't give you a lot to hit. So he's a guy you got to really hang in there with, stick to your guns, stick to your plan. We were able to finally clip him late. We had some chances early. You know, we get the guy on third. We don't score that one. And with, Andy and Coop up there, we thought those were good shots. And then Joycey too, and we don't score. And then they kind of get on the board on us. So it was good to bounce back after that.
Andy?
Donnie, after winning game one today, is there anything you could say about this team that you haven't said already?
Well, I think we've talked about them a lot, right? Hopefully we can keep moving forward and we get to talk about them some more. So, you know, obviously today is a big win in a three-game set. You know, that first one obviously puts you in a good spot. Send Sixto out there tomorrow. Hopefully he's good on the attack. And we can put some runs on the board. But, yeah, this group's been good, so we'll just keep singing their praises, hopefully for another month or so.
Back to Joe.
I know Jason just gave the update, but level of concern for Starling and just two straight games, he has to come out of the game getting hit by a pitch, obviously very unfortunate for him. And if he can't go, what are you going to be doing?
Well, I'm not going to go to what we might do. Or, you know, kind of go to hypotheticals. But, you know, Star has taken – I think he's been hit like three times on that hand since we've acquired him and then gets hit in the head the other day. He's been like a target almost. But he's been bouncing back from everything else. So hopefully we get good results with everything and we'll see where he's at.
Craig Mish.
Hey, Donnie, you know, that game, especially early on in the game, a lot of missed opportunities until Corey breaks through with that home run. But, you know, the one thing that was consistent throughout was Sandy never really seemed to get fazed by any of that and just attacked the hitters all game long. And then finally, when you guys broke through, he was there for you. So just kind of wondering in his first postseason start, how much more could you have asked out of him in that spot? Thanks.
Probably, you know, you wouldn't really ask any more than that. But you know, I think we've seen him even better than that, right? He really didn't get his changeup going today. But again, you know, I'm not complaining with Sandy, but just that, you know, that he has more there. And he, if he gets everything going on those nights, he's really a lot to handle. He's a lot to handle anyway. So he was great. We did have some chances early. I thought they had chances early. They had guys out there too. And Sandy seemed to step up every time. So, obviously, you know, a good outcome for us and a good outing for Sandy.
Thank you.
Wes?
Hey, Donnie. Congratulations. But how gratifying was it just to see the guys just keep battling in terms of hitting and obviously opening up there?
Yeah, obviously you want your guys to keep going. And I think that's one of the things that James Rousen and Dunk and Cheech have installed in our guys. I think we've been a really good club with like two outs. It's just keep having a good at bats and stay with the game plan and have your plan, stay with it. We'll break through, you know, and trying to keep it on those terms of not worrying about some of the results, but just making sure the quality's good and keep fighting in that and believe you're going to break through. So we were able to get through today. Again, their guy's a lot to handle. He presents some different problems. But the guys, I felt like, kept having pretty good at-bats. We didn't just chase all over the place. Wasn't quick outs anywhere for the most part. And, you know, we tried to stick to our plan.
Dave Hyde.
Yeah, Don, obviously a 6-0 Chances, three dominant performances out of the gate and then two not so good. Where's he at as you – he obviously pitching tomorrow.
Ready to go. I mean, 6-0 stuff's – 6-0 stuff is 6-0 stuff. It's as good as anybody's. So he'll be aggressive tomorrow, or we're going to push him to be aggressive tomorrow with all his stuff. He throws strikes with everything. So we can mix and still throw strikes. So – we're going to try to get him on the hunt, keep him on the hunt, and see where we go with him.
Was that a problem the last two starts when you – aggressiveness seems to be a word you're going to here.
It's with all our guys. We try to use it with Sandy, same with Pablo. Their stuff's good enough that we want to be on the attack, getting ahead in counts, throwing strikes, keep going after guys. Don't walk people, and don't pitch away from your fastball, right? Don't be afraid to use it. Sometimes, you know, guys want to get cute and they want to use all their stuff and don't really, you know exactly where they're going and why. So we're trying to define why and where and when for them and help them. So, you know, we're really confident in 6-0, at least I am, and hopefully everybody else is in our organization.
All right, two more. Let's do Steve Wine.
Don, you talked a little before the game about how lucky we all are to have baseball being played. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about today's schedule. This is a day unlike any other in the sport and a day that we are lucky to have come. What are your thoughts about it as a fan and a supporter of the game? How much attention will you be able to pay either this morning or early today or tonight to the other things going on?
Kind of like all of the above, right? Catching parts of, you know, early stuff and seeing a score once we get going, obviously into our stuff, you don't have much time, but just be checking into the scores later, checking out the Heat game tonight. So a lot of good stuff going on for getting us through the night and then being, you know, get back here tomorrow, be ready to go again.
Okay. Then Tim Stebbins.
Hey, Don. Tim Stebbins, NBC Sports Chicago. Obviously, this season's been really unique in its own right, but can you just speak to what it was like playing postseason baseball in Wrigley Field largely without any fans in attendance?
Yeah, it's definitely different. You know, we just spent that last series in New York without any fans, which was really weird, Yankee Stadium. And then to come here in a playoff environment or a playoff setting and – really, it's kind of just like those other games, other than, you know, more's on the line and have a chance to move forward. So it's definitely different. Like I said, I think during the broadcast, they'd ask me when I had to do a thing during the game, you know, your young guys get off the hook. They go to Yankee Stadium and come here without fans and having to deal with all that. So they get a little break this year, but it's definitely different.
Marlins manager Don Mattingly following the ball club's 5-1 win in Game 1 of the National League Wild Card Series. Let's turn things over to Corey Dickerson, who I had an opportunity to catch up with afterwards. It was Dickerson's 3-run home run that ultimately proved to be the game winner in Game 1.
Okay, Corey, that's a huge win in Game 1 of this series. You guys missed some opportunities early, but a huge seventh inning. Take me through your at-bat against Hendricks. How patient do you need to be against him?
Yeah, I think that's sometimes it's we're too patient. We're thinking about making a mistake. I think earlier in my at-bats, I had some good at-bats at first, trying to get a good pitch, and then I had runners in scoring position at third at-bat, and trying to be perfect and get the right pitch. And that last at-bat off Hendricks, I kind of made sure my timing was there. And if he threw something over, I was gonna hit it hard. So just make sure my timing was right and be aggressive.
Describe to me the feeling inside when you saw that ball leave the yard.
Dude, amazing. Biggest homer of my career. It was really cool because you know how all the guys feel. You know, we know what it took to get here, and we believe in each other 100%. And to kind of get that was huge, especially I thought it was going to be a line drive off the wall the way it looked off the bat, but it just kept carrying.
Hey, that would have worked too, Corey. Hey, any nerves early on? How you feeling early? I know this is your first playoff opportunity under weird circumstances this year. How you feeling early on in that game?
I think the whole, like, leading up to it since we clinched, just that anticipation, that a little bit of nervousness, I guess, for, you know, just excited for the opportunity. But, you know, once you get out or, you know, something don't go your way, you kind of lock back in and, you know, you kind of get angry or, you know, it depends who you are. Yeah, you just lock back in. It's just baseball again.
All right, Corey, congratulations on the victory. Get one more and get down there to Houston. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Corey Dickerson, after his 3-run home run in the top of the 7th inning, the Marlins got 2 more in the 7th, courtesy of Jesus Aguilar, who had an opportunity to speak with the media afterwards.
Hey there, Jesus.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm good. How are you, man?
Pretty good looking.
So, Jesus, take me through that 7th inning. Corey gets a home run. You get a home run. You guys finally break through on some opportunities after letting a few get away from you. Just, what was that inning like for you overall, though, be able to take a lead there?
We got the whole game battle. You know, that inning was a great inning for us, especially with Cody Homer. So that was like we can do it. And then after I come with the homer again, we just tried to do our job. You know, we just tried to stay aggressive. Kendry, I don't know, was doing an excellent job in the mound. But we got aggressive and we got the 3-run in that moment, and then we go over for 5.
Joe
Fisaro. Hey, Jesus. You keep it light even in here. We appreciate it. Back when the Marlins claimed you in December, and they clearly thought you could be a guy, they believed in you. What were some of the early messages that they gave you, at you and guys like Corey, the veterans that came in to really kind of help this team be where you are today?
Until they claimed me, I was like, this is a perfect thing to get back my confidence, you know. I gotta say thank you to the organization for believing in my person. You know, I got a lot of things to do. Last year wasn't a good year. This year was a different year, and we showed this year. You know, I gotta say thank you to them. Thank you for belief. It was a rough year last year for me, but now we're here. Now we're here. I think we got the right piece. We got the right guys. We gotta keep going, and let's see what happens.
Back to Jordan.
Yeah, Jesus, with this year and the production you've had at the plate, was there anything different that you did this year compared to last year to try to get yourself back on track to what you were doing back in 18?
It's all about confidence. Until I get to a spring training and Donnie talk to me, I feel good here, you know. Until I feel good here, I was thinking like I can do my year here. And that happened this year, you know. We got Donnie over there. We got a great group of coaches. So I feel happy here. I think that's why I get a success here. And, you know, it's a great year for us. It's a great year for the organization. We should.
Andy?
Jesus, at what point this year, this season, did you think you guys would be in the postseason and win your first game?
I think when we win 5 games of 7 of Philly at home, that was the moment, like, when we really believe. Because, you know, there's a lot of people talking, like, the Marlins aren't gonna get it. The Marlins, you know, a lot of people talking trash about us. In that moment, I cannot believe it. Like 100%, we can go to the postseason, and we finally made it.
Does that pump you up a little bit more when you read that trash or hear that trash talk?
Oh, of course. I mean, you know, when they're talking about us in that way, you kind of want to show they wrong. You know, that's my point, and that's how I see it. I think a lot of guys see it too, like that. We just try to play the game the right way, you know. I think, how I said before, we got the right piece, we got the right guys, and we should. Now we got to keep going.
Elise?
Jesus, what was it like facing your former teammate, Jeremy Jeffress? How did it help in that at bat, the familiarity with him?
I never faced him before, you know. That was like a lot of moments come through. You know, we battle over there. We're working, you know. It's in the other team, so I got a battle with him. He was throwing like a really good sinkers. I just tried to get ready in with 2 strikes. I just see the ball high. I just tried to hit him, and that happened in the moment. You know, I think I get lucky, but was really important for us because we take the lead by 5.
Tim.
Hey, Jesus. 2 years ago with Milwaukee, you guys played a big, you know, game 163 against the Cubs at Wrigley, 40,000 screaming fans. How different was the atmosphere this time around in comparison with nobody in the stands?
It's way different. You know, the fans here is kind of run over you. They're gonna talk trash over you like the whole game. We know fans around. It's kind of easy for the business name because you don't have to hear a lot of things, you know. We just can be focused, like try to play the game the right way. That's the difference. I mean, it's gonna be a bit different in the postseason this year because you don't got like the people around you.
All right, one last one in English for Wes, and then we'll switch over to Spanish.
Thanks, Jason. Hey, Zeus, how do you guys, in your opinion, I guess just stay loose, man? You guys are confident, but you guys are just loose out there, especially when you guys are battling at the plate to get those runs.
We just came here to play the game, bro. I mean, we don't got nothing to lose. I mean, we are a great team, but still, like, Chicago gotta be the team, like, go to the next round. So I think it's a great moment for us to show like they're wrong. I think we got the right pieces. We've been playing good. We gotta keep going. Don't try to do too much and just go out there and play the game.
Jesus Aguilar with a two-run home run in game one, a 5-1 Marlins win. Before we wrap things up, let's hear from the starting pitcher, Sandy Alcantara, who turned in a brilliant, brilliant start. It was exactly what the doctor ordered, 6 2/3 innings. 3 hits, a run it was earned, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts for Sandy.
Yeah, hitter Sandy. Can you just take us through how did you feel out there? And Donnie mentioned that you were maybe a little amped up or a little antsy your first inning or so. How did you overcome that and be able to do what you're able to do today?
First of all, I want to say thank you, God, for giving me hope in the game. I mean, during the first inning and sixth inning too, you know, I feel like a little weird, you know. I don't have my best stuff today, you know, but I was keeping throw the ball, throw strike, you know. But you guys see the result. You know, I never give up, you know. Then I was trying to find a way to throw strike to make the pitch.
Joe Fusaro.
Hey, Sandy. Your ability to like you say, even when you don't have your best stuff, you're always like that one pitch away, or you always kind of have that knack to get out of trouble. Where do you find that you're able to do that? Why you can do that?
You know, sometimes you want to have like really good day, you know, but today was my day, but it's one of my day, you know, but today I was like all the time positive. All the time in the bikini when I was outside, you know, you guys see I get in trouble behind the count all the time, you know, but after that, just like find a way to throw perfect pitch, you know, to get a quick out.
Andy?
Sandy, pitching in game one of a playoff series, did it feel like everything you thought it would be?
What you say?
Pitching in game one of a playoff series, did it feel like everything you thought it would be?
I mean, you know, it's perfect. You know, beat outside in the first game. You know, I think it's like a big opportunity for me, you know, go outside to a third game, you know, I think. And we win tonight, you know, that's what I was looking for. And my team, that was they looking for to win the first game and win the second game too.
Back to Jordan.
Yeah, Sandy, what was it like watching Corey and Jesus Aguilar hit the home runs in the seventh and give you guys that lead after you were battling for those 6-plus innings out there?
I mean, I have confidence on all my defense, you know. I know and they know that we went on score run and we did it, you know. I was sitting on my seat during the inning, and I see Corey hit a homer, you know, and I feel really happy about that. And I mean, I think he did a great job, you know, put the ball in play.
That was Sandy Alcantara after the Marlins' 5-1 win over the Chicago Cubs in Game 1 of the 2020 National League Wild Card Series yesterday afternoon. Now we turn our attention to this afternoon's Game 2 matchup, Miami and Chicago. They're going to go toe-to-toe once again. A victory, the Marlins are headed to Houston. They'll play the winner of the Atlanta Braves and the Cincinnati Reds. Your matchup on the mound in Game 2, Sixto Sanchez for the Marlins, Yu Darvish for the Cubs,
It's a 2:08 first pitch at Wrigley Field. We're on the air at 1 o'clock with Marlins on Deck. And as always, we hope you'll find some time to join us along the Miami Marlins Radio Network.